Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of the One Man Renegade podcast. And, you know, that name may be more appropriate than ever for today's topic, because there's one man who is a renegade of sorts, I guess. I don't know if that's necessarily the proper terminology. He may be a serial killer? I don't even know if that's proper either. He's a slasher, though. And of course, I'm talking about Jason Voorhees, because today on the podcast, we are talking about Friday the 13th. It is Friday the 13th. It is synonymous with Jason Voorhees at this point, even though we're going to take a little trip back in history as to why that even came to be. You know, for someone that grew up in the 80s, you know, as a kid, a little kid, you know, so I was familiar with the Friday the 13th franchise, but by the time I became, like, old enough to really appreciate them, it had kind of, it was a bit passé. The 90s, it kind of ran out of steam and kind of disappeared. It's made attempts at comebacks and has been varying degrees of success in those attempts. But obviously, it's iconic, the Jason Voorhees with the hockey mask and the machete. It's iconic. But let's just dive right into what Friday the 13th is all about, because a lot of people may not even realize. Because to me, you know, Friday the 13th, when I think of Friday the 13th, I always just, you know, think of the movie franchise. You know, obviously there's the day, but the Friday the 13th phenomena goes well past the 1980 when the first Friday the 13th movie came out. But why? I guess that's the question, is why are people afraid of Friday the 13th? Well, it's a bit of a mystery. I mean, there's theories and ideas as to why. I mean, obviously it stems from the fact that the people have the fear of the number 13. Triskaidekaphobia, I believe, is what it's called. But the fear of Friday the 13th specifically has some other really, really long name that I can't even pronounce, but I'll try to. Paraskevdekatriaphobia. I don't think I said that right, but it's, you know, obviously kind of a playoff, Triskaidekaphobia. These are all Greek. It's all Greek to me. So, but why do people fear Friday the 13th? Well, there's a couple of theories, and this is just, I'm going off of, and you know, for most part, it's a Western superstition. You know, it doesn't seem to be a worldwide thing necessarily. You know, some theories have to why. It may have go back to the Middle Ages, originating from a story of Jesus' Last Supper and crucifixion, in which there were 13 individuals present in the upper room on the 13th of Nisan Maundy Thursday, the night before the death on Good Friday. So, you know, there's kind of the theory that, you know, it has to do with Jesus, and while there's evidence both Friday and the number 13th being considered unlucky, I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I mean, I guess for Jesus, obviously it was, but, you know, but there's no real connection between the two specifically before the 19th century. And an early documented reference in English occurs in Henry Sutherland Edwards' 1869, biography of Gioacchino Rossini, who died on a Friday the 13th. So, I don't know. It's possible the publication in 1907 of Thomas W. Lawson's popular novel Friday the 13th. So, contributed to some of this too. So it's unclear, but for anyone that's, you know, under the age of 40 at this point, I think when you think of Friday the 13th, you think of the movies, you know, even more so than just the day, even though people, there's the thing about Friday the 13th anyways. I mean, so, you know, because if you're just going with the 13th, well, there's a 13th in every month. So it's like, it doesn't even matter what day it falls on. Why wouldn't you just be afraid of those? So Thursday the 13th, Saturday the 13th, Monday the 13th. I mean, I'd be more afraid of Monday the 13th because it's Monday. And I have to go back to work or school or whatever, you know. People generally think like Fridays better than they like Mondays. But, you know, we're not all Garfields, I guess. So I don't know why specifically Friday the 13th is what it is. Or why it became what it became. But we're not even really going to talk about that mostly. Today we're mostly going to focus on the 13th. The 13th? No, there's 12. The 12 Friday the 13th movies in the franchise. Which, yes, we'll talk about what happened. What will happen for the next one being the 13th. Now, there's a little bit of controversy. I wouldn't say controversy, but there's a little bit of debate as to if that's accurate, because one of the movies, and we'll get to it, is sort of a Friday the 13th, but it's also a Nightmare on Elm Street, but we'll get to that when we get to that, and we'll have a little discussion about that. But let's just start off, and I'm going to rank them. No, I'm not going in order, I'm going in my order from my favorite, or from my least favorite to my favorite. Yes, so we're not going in chronological order, we'll go in my order, for my favorite, or least favorite to favorite. So let's start off, and we'll talk about my least favorite, Friday the 13th. And that has to be the one and only, and probably the, and this is the reason why I list it last. You know, if you actually watch the movie and don't really kind of know the specifics about why, there's a reason why I don't like this movie, as opposed to the other ones, you might not think it's that bad. I mean, it's certainly not great by any means, but you might not think it's that bad. And it's Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning. And it came out March 22nd. So first off, not coming out on a Friday the 13th is blasphemy, a bit blasphemy. Although there's a lot of these movies didn't necessarily come out on Friday the 13th. But opening weekend, it did over $8 million, which is really good. It's like the third highest, or no, I should say, no, it's the fifth highest on the list. And overall, it made $21.9 million domestically, because it came out in the 80s before the international market was kind of like really a thing. We don't have any numbers on that. Rotten Tomatoes has it at 16%, Metacritic also 16%, IMDb at 4.8, and CinemaScore did not exist in 85, so there is no CinemaScore for that. But here's the reason. Here is the reasoning behind why I think this is the worst Friday the 13th, and that is because it is the only Friday the 13th that doesn't feature Jason Voorhees. You might be thinking to yourself, I've seen that movie. Jason's in the movie. No, there is a guy, and spoiler alert for a 34-year-old movie. And yeah, there will be spoilers. I don't really care. These movies are all super old. Like, if you haven't seen any of them, I don't think I'm going to ruin anything for you, because the plot lines, whatever. But this one centers around the kid, Tommy Jarvis, who, spoiler alert again, kills Jason in part 4. Now, in part 5, he kind of is still, like, traumatized by the whole situation. He kind of ends up in this weird, like, house that's, like, for, like, people that... it's confusing. I don't know what the house is. It's, like, people that have a little bit of mental issues, kind of. They're kind of living all in this house, but it's, like, not really a mental institution, really. It's, like, these... I don't know what it is. It's weird, but whatever. So, all of a sudden,
he starts seeing, like, Jason, and it's, like, freaking out. I was like, no, I killed him. He's dead. Blah, blah, blah. And it turns out it's not Jason. It was some guy pretending to be Jason going around killing people. That's why I don't like it. It's not Jason. It's not Jason Voorhees. Jason Voorhees is not in any way involved. They did a weird tease, though, in this one, which they kind of teased at the end of 4-2, which was kind of that, like, Tommy Jarvis was going to be kind of the new Jason, but that never really went anywhere. I mean, there were some cool kills in this movie. And the final scene is actually pretty intense and stuff, but then when they reveal that wasn't really Jason, it's just like, really? Like, this movie didn't have Jason Voorhees in it, and I don't know. That for me, that is my least favorite. It's my least favorite. But let's move on, shall we? The next movie, which came out next on my list, at number 11, this movie came out in 1989, January 28th, made 6.2 opening weekend, 14.3 domestic. It has an 8% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is the lowest, 14 on Metacritic, which is not the lowest, 4.6 at IMDb, which is also not the lowest, and I got a C+ on CinemaScore, so because CinemaScore came around in 1987 or something like that. I forget what year, maybe 6, 86, maybe 87. I'm trying to look to see what the early, yeah, it must have been 86, because 5 didn't have anything, and then 6, yeah, okay. So it is Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. A lot of people do like this. It's kind of got more of a cult following, mostly because it's so utterly ridiculous. But it became, at the end of the 80s, it kind of like, you know, they're pumping these things out pretty much year after year, you know, with the exception of a couple years in there where they took a break. And this one kind of killed off the franchise for a bit. It didn't officially, but this was the last one that Paramount did, from the beginning. They had the rights from the beginning, up until this one, and then they sold it off to New Line Cinema, and we'll talk about that whole kind of thing coming up in a minute. But, there was a lot of issues with this movie. You know, obviously didn't do very well at the box office, so that's, you know, I mean, that's not really my concern, but, you know, that obviously put a damper on the, you know, franchise a bit with the way this is handled. But the biggest issue was there was this whole, like, Jason Takes Manhattan, like, he's gonna go around New York killing a bunch of people, and it takes him an hour and a half to get to New York. There's this whole thing with the boat, and the crew, like a cruise boat or whatever, like kids on a high school like prom or something. It's confusing, and like he gets wrapped up in the anchor because they leave from the lake, which somehow gets to New York, which makes no freaking sense. And then he's in New York for like 2 seconds, ends up in the sewer somehow. It does feature one of the most ridiculous kills of all time, though, where he just like uppercuts the guy's head off. He basically Johnny Cages a guy, which is just, it just makes no sense the way it's like, you look at it and it's like, what the hell just happened? How did that even, that doesn't even make sense. And then it ends with him like getting like, like he gets sucked into the sewer and like he gets, I don't know, toxic waste on him or something. Like he gets like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something. It's confusing. And then he turns back into a baby and then it's like, oh, okay, I guess he's dead now. Even though he's a baby now in the New York sewer. It's like, what? Makes no freaking sense. But in any event, yeah, it's not good. It's not. It's a terrible movie. It's got some, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It just doesn't, it never worked for me. I always never liked that one. I mean, whenever they would do the marathons, and I guess I should go back a little bit. and kind of explain my history with Friday the 13th movies before I move on. Yeah, you know, growing up, my dad was a big horror buff, but he was more into the older, you know, kind of monster movies and like Dracula, Frankenstein, that kind of thing. And he did like the Stephen King stuff. But, you know, like in the 80s when all the Thrasher movies were coming out, like Halloween and obviously Friday the 13th and then Nightmare on Elm Street and kind of all the, you know, the other ones that were kind of like those that were kind of, but weren't, you know, as popular, I guess, but were in that same vein of movies and stuff. My dad never got into those. He probably watched them here and there, but like he never really got into them so much. You know, so for me, I didn't really watch any of these growing up. You know, it was more of the monster movies and vampire movies and stuff like that. You know, and I don't know, I guess it was like, you know, I'd seen some here and there, but I think it was probably like in college when on every like Friday the 13th, either like Spike, I think it was Spike TV at the time or whatever it was before that, or, you know, they would always just have these Friday the 13th marathons that would run. And I don't know, I'd always just used to watch them because at the time, and we'll get to it in a little bit, they were actually putting on a new Friday the 13th, Jason X. And it had been forever since there was a Friday the 13th. So I was like, oh, okay, well, this is coming out, and there's going to be all, you know, they would show all the Friday the 13ths, and all right, we'll watch all of them. And, you know, college, it's like, yeah, it's a Friday. Like, I usually didn't have many classes on a Friday, and then you'd watch the marathon of the Friday the 13th movies. I mean, they were the TV versions, so they weren't quite as good, but, like, still, you know, we kind of got that feel for them, and then I eventually went back, and I've watched them, I don't know how many times in the last 20 or so years, but, yeah, so, and, you know, I mean, Jason Voorhees is just, he's iconic. Even if you've never watched any of these movies, like, you see a guy in a hockey mask with a chain, like a, not a chainsaw, wow, sorry. Whoa, completely, totally different franchise there. With a machete, you're like, ah, it's Jason. Everyone knows Jason. But anyways, and also my roommate, one of my roommates and best friends from college is named Jason, so it kind of worked out that way too. I guess that was kind of why we would watch them, like, hey, that's... But anyways, I digress. Let's move on. Let's, number 10... following up, Friday the 13th Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, Paramount decided to get rid of the Friday the 13th, franchise and decided to sell it to New Line. New Line, who at the time had owned the rights to, and probably I think still do, to Freddy Krueger. Now, the thought process here was they were going to do a Freddy versus Jason crossover movie. And for whatever reason, it never came to pass. They never could figure it out how to do it. A couple years after that, they decided to kill off Freddy. And then this movie that came out in August 13th. So a Friday the 13th. So I'll give it credit for that. 1993, made 7.5 opening weekend, 15.9 overall. Again, didn't have worldwide numbers from back then. It has a 24 on Rotten Tomatoes, which to me seems very high for this movie. 17 on Metacritic seems more appropriate. 4.3, which is actually the lowest on IMDb, and no cinema score for some reason. I think when this initially came out, it was a limited release or something along those lines, so... I don't know, but I couldn't find a cinema score for this, even though it came out in 93. And that, of course, is Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday. They were killing off Jason. Now, why, if you're New Line, are you buying up the franchise to then the first movie you put out, you kill him off? Didn't really make sense. But yeah, this one, there's this whole crazy plot line where Jason's spirit goes into different people and those other people are now Jason, and I don't know, that whole plot line just didn't do it for me. I was like, nope, this is stupid. Ultimately ends up in hell, So there you go, and now he's dead. So next up, moving on, I mean, I don't really have much else to say of that movie. It just, it wasn't, it didn't have that same old school vibe that the other ones did up until that point. And I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that it came out in 1993 as opposed to all the other ones that came out in the 80s. You know, you were coming off of Freddy dying, and now you're killing off Jason. Michael Myers, I think, wasn't back yet because he had been kind of killed off in Halloween 2. And I don't, or no, he had been killed off in Halloween 5. I don't know. Whatever. The Halloween movies were kind of in a weird standpoint of that too. So slasher movies are kind of out at this point in 93. I don't know what was popular in horror in 93. I can't really remember. I mean, I know they had the Bram Stoker's Dracula, but that was 94, I believe. No, that's Interview with the Vampire I'm thinking of. I don't know. But that had come out. So the kind of vampires were kind of back in vogue, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look to see what, like, the popular horror movies were from the early 90s. I'm just trying, I'm drawing a blank here, but, you know, obviously slasher films had been big in the 80s. And they were kind of dying out. You know, things were changing. So they were killing off these characters. Obviously, these movies didn't do great, so with reason they were, you know, getting rid of them. So then flash forward to number 9. About a little less than nine years later, even though this movie had been ready to go for multiple years, I believe, when it finally got released by New Line. It came out April 26, 2002, so not of Friday the 13th, so negative points. Made 6.6 opening weekend, 13 overall, 16.9 worldwide, because yes, this movie came out in 2002. 19% on Rotten Tomato, 25 Metacritic, which actually is fairly high on Metacritic, surprisingly. 4.4 IMDb, C+ on the cinema score. And that is Jason X. Now, as I said, like, this was right in the middle of, I remember them just showing the movies on, like I said, on Spike or the new TNN or whatever it was. Like, every time it was Friday the 13th, oh, here they are, Friday the 13th movie, Marathon. Which was fantastic, and these kind of like, and I don't know what happened to this movie, because I feel like I saw it online in one of those, like, you know, websites that, you know, that would share movies well before it even came out, like a year before it even came out, you know, because back in those college days, they, you know, you got the internet, and there was no laws back then, or the laws weren't very good back then about downloading stuff like that and stuff. But, yeah, I remember seeing it. Oh, Jason X. And it was the legit, like, movie. I don't remember ever watching it until much later. Because I don't remember the quality being very good. But regardless of any of that, yeah, Jason X. So the plot line to this one was, I think it kind of, like, didn't recognize the end of Jason Goes to Hell. Or, like, it did, but, like, sort of not, because, like, he wasn't in hell, or, like, I don't remember exactly. It was weird. But anyways, he ends up getting frozen with this girl, and then many years later, a spaceship comes, and Earth is, like, decimated, but they find this random building that they were frozen in, and then he goes on a spaceship and starts killing people. yeah, it's exactly as ridiculous as it sounds, and it was pretty damn stupid. But it had some really cool kills, and, like, you know, by 2002, they had some pretty good special effects that they could do some cooler things with. But then the whole plot line of, like, there was a robot person that Jason fought, and, like, I don't know, they're on a spaceship, but then they, like, could simulate things, and I don't know, it was kind of weird and all over the place, but, and spoiler, the ending was kind of cool and, like, set up, like, possibly a sequel that never came. You know, they tease, like, they definitely, during one of the simulation kind of things, they tease, Jason going back to, like, Camp Crystal Lake and, and killing a bunch of teenagers camping or whatever. It's pretty funny, and it's over the top and supposed to be like stupid and like kind of making fun of like the old movies and whatever, but you know, at the same time it was probably the best part of the movie. But anyways, yeah, so there we go. Jason X, that's number 9. All right, moving on. Moving forward too. This movie came out February 13th, 2009 and was released by Warner Brothers, who at this point had the rights it's confusing because Warner Brothers picked up the distribution rights, but like they still like I think they were still kind of connected with Paramount, who had reverted back to for some reason. But then there was like some weird reason. There's some weird legal stuff with some of the rights for Friday the 13th, where like some of the characters, like the Jason character, is owned by somebody. But then, like, the original storyline of like, Friday the 13th, the original one, is owned by someone else. And that puts, like, his mom in a weird position. Yeah, puts his mom in a weird spot. Because, like, I don't know. There's some weird issues with that. And I think that's part of the reason why we haven't seen a recent Friday the 13th since this one that came out. And it did well, because that's the confusing part to, you know, why there hasn't been one since then. Because it did $40.5 million opening weekend, which is the all-time, you know, record for Friday the 13th movie. Now, granted, it came out in 2009 as opposed to, you know, 1982 or something like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of inflation issues that you have to factor in there. It made $65 million domestic, $91.3 million worldwide, 25% on Rotten Tomato, 34 on Metacritic, which I believe is actually the second highest on Metacritic. Yeah, that's interesting. And then 5.6 on IMDb and a B on CinemaScore. Oh, wait, no. B-. So 5.6 on IMDb. Yeah. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong line. Yeah, B-. Yeah, so and that's Friday the 13th, the reboot from 2009. You know, I wanted to really like this movie. I was excited when it came out, and it did well. And I thought to myself, all right, sweet. If they can reboot this franchise, I'm on board for, like, a new Friday the 13th movie every year or so. You know, I mean, this was, you know, the Saw movies were still going at this point. I don't think the Paranormal Activities movies had started, but those, you know, those kind of were in the same vein of like, oh, these are easy and cheap, just put one out every year, and that's cool until people get sick of them, and eventually, you know, that happens. But it's like, okay, well, you know, if this is doing so well, why couldn't you just restart this kind of thing too? You know, and you know, you've seen it with other movie franchises and stuff, but regardless of any of that, this movie was not good. Like, they tried to do some weird things with it, and the other problem that they had with this movie was it was a bit rushed. And what I mean by that is, like, okay, so, and we'll get to the other ones, but, like, when you consider the original Friday the 13th, and spoiler alert, Jason's not the killer. You know, Jason's mom is trying to avenge his death, supposedly. You know, in the second one, then, I mean, he kind of has, you know, obviously Jason has a little bit of a cameo at the end. We'll get to that. But then the second one, all of a sudden you realize, okay, maybe he actually wasn't dead the whole time. He wasn't dead. Now he's back and trying to get revenge for himself, you know, for his mom, and, you know, for, you know, his mom's death, and then, you know, he wears a bag over his head. And the third one's the one where he actually gets the mask. So, for them to do a Friday the 13th movie in 2009 and reboot it, but not have Jason as the killer, or not have him with the hockey mask, would have not have worked as well. I don't, I mean, I, you know, because people have obviously with the Friday the 13th franchise, they, you know, and Jason Voorhees, they have a certain image in their head. And it's like, well, if that's not in the movie, people are kind of going to be like, ah, what the hell is this? But, you know, obviously with the beginnings of the franchise, they didn't do that yet. So it kind of came along organically, whereas in this movie, they kind of just rushed it and were like, oh, yeah, this is what happened with his mom. Yeah, and now he's got a second. Oh, wait, now we found a mask. Oh, okay, it's Jason. But then the other thing about him was he wasn't the lumbering kind of, like, old school, like, just, you know, you can't stop him, you can't, you know, stop him type of, like, Jason, where he's, like, you know, he's gonna come for you, he's gonna keep coming for you. He was, like, this fast, like, smart, like, kind of, like, you know, strategic killer, which... That's not what Jason was. Jason was, you know, in the original movies, Jason was just this lumbering, kind of dumb-witted, you know, man-child that never grew up properly and was just out to kill whatever it could find. There was no thought process behind any of what he was doing. He was just going after these kids and trying to kill them, and he'd find them and kill them. He wasn't setting up booby traps and whatever, and I don't know. It just didn't work for me, and it did well, and, you know, it would have been interesting to see where they would have gone with it and if they had ever done a sequel to that one, but, you know, for me, it just didn't work as well. I mean, it was a good movie in terms of, well, it came out in 2009, so they had a lot better production value, you know, the storyline was decent enough, you know, they obviously special effects were top notch and everything. But, you know, as far as what they did with Jason, and it was the same thing they did with Nightmare on Elm Street when they rebooted that. It was like, obviously with Jason, it's a lot easier to put, you know, some big dude with a mask on and have him with a machete going around killing people. With Friday the 13th, it was like, you're going to make a different Freddy Krueger. No thanks. It just didn't work. And, even though that movie did well too, they never did a sequel to it, and it was just kind of like, I don't know, without Robert Englund, I don't know how you have Freddy Krueger. It just didn't work. And it wasn't funny, like, he was just kind of this more serious tone, it was darker tone, and it was just like, that's not Freddy. It's not even Scary Terry. Alright, let's move on though. So, coming out at number 7, is Friday the 13th Part 7, The New Blood. Paramount released this one back in 1988 on May 13th, so on a 13th, Friday the 13th, so bonus points for that. 8.2 opening weekend, 19 domestic, worldwide numbers weren't available. 29% on Rotten Tomato, 13 Metacritic, 5.3 IMDb, and got a B on CinemaScore. So this one was interesting in that while in the previous movies... to this one specifically, even though they had the Tommy Jarvis character, which was kind of in multiple movies and stuff, and, you know, this one didn't have someone that was kind of in multiple movies, but in the other movies, it was kind of like, okay, here's these kids, there's usually one or two that are kind of like the main one, and end up like getting, you know, the drop on Jason and overcoming him and whatever, whereas in this movie, all of a sudden, now you have this girl that's, like, got telepathic capabilities and can actually challenge Jason in, like, a battle, as opposed to, like, tricking him to fall into, like, the river or whatever. The lake. The river. Yeah. The lake. Or in the sewer, as Friday the 13th Part 8 did. So they had this telepathic girl or whatever. So that was an interesting kind of dynamic with that. You know, there's a lot of cool, like, kills in the beginning because there's, like, this whole campers that don't really have anything to do with the movie or don't really have anything to do with her necessarily. They kind of do, but, like, not really. And then there's this whole kind of other plot line with, like, Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's and, like, this girl. It took a different tone. It's not bad. Obviously, it's number 7, as opposed to, like, number 12. But, it didn't quite, it went in a different direction as opposed to some of the earlier ones. So it didn't quite have that same feel that the earlier ones did. But it changed something up, but it wasn't completely out of left field like some of these other ones were. So it was fine. Let's move on. Number six. Friday the 13th Part 2. And these were all Paramount. Except for there's one more that's not Paramount, but we'll get to it. This one came out April 30th, 1981. So not on a Friday the 13th. It made 6.4 opening weekend, 21.7 million overall. 29% on Rotten Tomatoes, 26 Metacritic, 6.1 on IMDb, which, that's middle of the road. Didn't have cinema score. So Friday the 13th Part 2. So this one changed the game from the first one in that it wasn't the mom. And it wasn't really a mystery. I mean, it's kind of a mystery at the very start, if I remember correctly. But they very quickly make you realize, oh, this is actually Jason killing people now. He grew up. He wasn't actually dead that whole time, or he was sort of dead or whatever. I don't know. Still confusing. And here he is. Now, he's got a sack over his head because he's ugly and deformed because he drowned or was living in the woods or whatever. I don't totally remember why that whole thing was the thing. But he has the sack here instead of the mask. He didn't get the mask yet. But there's some really cool kills in this movie. For 1982, like, pretty ridiculous stuff here. And the whole thing with his mom and his mom's head, and, you know, spoiler alert. It's pretty solid, and they follow up from the beginning of the end of the first movie, I should say. And I don't know. It's solid. You know, it was still breaking the ground of what these movies were about. And, you know, while sure there was the Halloween movies, and maybe that was the first kind of thrasher movies, and, you know, there have been a couple others here and there. I don't know, this is kind of established Jason as kind of, you know, okay, this is the guy that's going to be the killer throughout, you know, when we make 15 more movies or whatever. Well, not that many, but you know what I'm saying. When we make a ton more movies. It's about the Jason kid. The mom's gone. This is the guy, you know, and we can make it all kind of weird and, you know, spooky, and we don't know what the deal is with this guy because we thought he was dead, and he's not dead, and we can't seem to kill him. You know, similar to Michael Myers, I suppose, but with a less backstory, maybe? Nah, I mean, there's probably about as much backstory in the original Halloween as there is for Jason. But in terms of, like, what happened between when he... Like, Michael Myers was in a mental institution. Jason was lost in the woods or at the bottom of a lake or whatever. Like, yeah. But anyways, yeah, the second part, it's pretty good. It's not the best, but it's middle of the road. Then we move on to Friday the 13th Part 3. Now, this was one, came out August 13th, 1982, so a Friday the 13th, so bonus points. 9.4... opening weekend, 34.5 domestically, 12% on Rotten Tomatoes. So yes, it's the second lowest as far as Rotten Tomatoes are concerned, but 30% on Metacritic and 5.7 on IMDb. Now, a lot of people will say this movie's bad, and it's not great. And there's a lot of issues with when you're watching the movie. Some of the camera work, and it's a bit bizarre, and that's because this was a 3D movie. It came out, it was Friday the 13th 3D, I think it was kind of like advertised as, and it's got a lot of weird like stuff coming right at the camera at you, and I think a lot of people don't like it because of that, but it does give Jason his iconic hockey mask. So, you know, it wins a ton of points just for that. And remember if this one established it, but it might have happened in the other ones too, but there was a reoccurring theme that happened in a lot of these movies, and especially 3, and I'm 4, want to say 5, although I hate 5, 6 and 7, and maybe, I don't think eight, but maybe eight. Again, I don't, maybe one or two. I don't totally remember. But at some point in the movies, all these movies, something comes flying through a window. It's like inevitable it's going to happen. Something is going to come flying through a window. It's a, usually a body comes flying through the window, and he throws a body through the window. And I believe, if I remember correctly, this is the first one I can kind of remember, where something just comes flying through the window, and you wait for it, Oh, there it is! Someone's flying through the window. And it's got the annoying fat kid, which became a thing throughout the course of the rest of these movies, I believe. I don't remember there being an annoying fat kid in any of the other movies, but there was definitely an annoying fat kid in this one that kind of set the theme for annoying fat kids in horror movies, to move forward. But yeah. So I don't know. For me, I mean, if you get past the 3D aspect of it, although it's very, very cheesy, but I think that adds a little bit of, that adds to it in my mind. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously getting the hockey mask in this one is just puts it over the top for me, at least in terms of versus like 2 or 7 or whatever. Moving on, number 4 is Friday the 13th Part 4, or as it was billed, Friday the 13th Final Chapter. Clearly, it wasn't the final chapter, as we come to know. It came out on Friday, April 13th, 1984, so bonus points for coming out on the 13th. Friday the 13th, that is. It made 11.1 opening weekend, 32.9 domestic, 20% on Rotten Tomato, 33 Metacritic, 6 on the IMDb, and it didn't have a cinema score. And this one is pretty damn good. You know, in terms of, I mean, you know, whatever, you can say whatever you want about the IMDb and Rotten Tomato scores and whatever, but this one is probably, like, it's a solid movie. Like, the other ones are all kind of good for Friday the 13th. I mean, you know, some of them are good for Friday the 13th. You know, for Friday the 13th, you know, this one's actually a solid movie. And it's mostly because of Corey Feldman. So, yes, it's Corey Feldman. It's right around the same time he did Goonies. Could have been right before. Might have been right after. Gremlins, not Goonies. Way before Goonies. So he's still, like, younger. He's not Goonies Corey Feldman yet. He's Gremlins Corey Feldman. Which, if you've seen Gremlins, he's not in it for very long, but, you know, he's kind of, you know, he grew up a lot in that one year, I feel like, from Gremlins to Goonies. But in this, he's kind of right with the Gremlins kind of thing. So he plays Tommy Jarvis, who then has a recurring role in the rest of these movies. Or not rest of them, but a few of these movies. 4, 5, and 6, mostly. I don't remember if he was in any others. He might have been referenced in others, but I don't think that character ever was in any others. I could be wrong about that, though. But anyways. Yeah, so the final chapter, obviously it wasn't the final chapter, but yeah, this one's really cool. I mean, Corey Feldman, again, it's similar to 7, where it's like Feldman and I think his sister were like next door to like a house of, I don't know if it's like a frat house or just like a bunch of like teenagers that are doing the normal Friday the 13th crappy, stupid teenager stuff that then Jason has to come and murder everyone. But then he kind of like tricks Jason into coming, and then he kind of turns on him or doesn't turn on him. I don't know. He ends up killing him as you think he's killing. I mean, he's dead. Theoretically, he's dead. And we'll get to how he's not dead later. But he kills him. He kills him, but then he's kind of got this weird vibe to him that, you know, kind of seemed like they're teasing that he could become the next Jason. Now, they kind of did that in 5 as well, but they never really went more forward with that. But yeah, no, Corey Feldman killed Jason Voorhees, you know, it's just, It's a bit weird when you look back at it. Like, but at the time, I was like, oh, okay, this kid killed Jason Voorhees. Later, it's like, wait, Mouth killed Jason Voorhees? Really? The neighbor kid that, like, that wanted the pizza dude to come from the Burbs killed Jason Voorhees. That's a deep cut for Corey Feldman. But anyways, one of the Coreys. So that's number four. So number three, moving on, is the original Friday the 13th. It came out despite popular belief, it actually did not come out on June 13th, 1980. A lot of people think it came out on June 13th, 1980, because June 13th was a Friday in 1980, I believe. And the whole thing was that it was Jason's birthday. And the plot of the movie, let me just double check on that. Because the plot of the movie is that it is a Friday the 13th, obviously. At least the original, it gets a little bit unclear when these other things are taking place necessarily. But because of when this movie came out in 1980, people kind of thought, oh, well, this is taking place on June 13th, 1980... And, you know, some people have kind of done the math on some of the stuff, and maybe that's not accurate. But, I mean, it would make sense, because it would be June 13th, 1980. It's a Friday the 13th. But that's not when the movie came out. The movie actually came out on May 9th. So, loses points for not coming out on Friday the 13th, I guess? That's just kind of weird. It made $5.8 million opening weekend, 39.7 domestically, 63 on Rotten Tomatoes, which is by far and away the highest. 20, but only 22 on Metacritic, which is weird. And then 6.5, which is again is the highest on IMDb, and that's so it's original Friday the 13th. And you know, for me, it's a good movie. When you compare it to, you know, the original like Halloween or the original Nightmare on Elm Street or some of those similar movies around that time. But in the grand scheme of the Friday the 13th movies, it loses a lot of points for me because it doesn't have Jason, the classic Jason, in the movie. Yes, he appears as a little boy at the end, which may or may not have been a dream, and you're obviously in flashbacks or whatever when they're talking about it and stuff. I don't know in that movie if they ever really flashback to anything. She explains what happens, but I don't really think they do. Could be wrong about that. I don't remember. But I haven't watched it in a while. But they obviously at the end, very end, when the girl's on the boat and he comes up, pulls her down, but then it's unclear whether or not that's it really happened or she thought it might have happened. I don't know. And then they never really totally explain that in part two because then he's an older, he grew up. But so for me, like, it's a great movie. It's got Kevin Bacon in one of his first roles in film. And it, you know, it's got some good kills. Obviously, you know, it was, you know, some groundbreaking stuff when it comes to that. You know, because that's the thing about like Halloween. You know, Michael Myers didn't really kill a lot of people in Halloween. You know, there's a decent amount of kills in this movie. No, not nearly what would be later in the subsequent movies with Jason Voorhees killing. But certainly Pamela Voorhees got her fair share of kills. So yeah, but the original, you know, if you haven't seen the original, like, I don't know what you're doing. Go see it. I will say that I believe it. They're showing the original and then the 2009 reboot coming up today, if you're listening to this, on September 13th, 2019. Which, bonus, a little bit of backstory. I've been meaning to do this podcast for I don't know how long. And just keep forgetting, and I was like, well, I can do it anytime and just post it on a Friday the 13th, which I'm doing it a few days in advance anyways. little behind the scenes there, but I would, obviously, if you're listening to today, it's Friday the 13th. But tonight, if you're listening to it on the day it came out, if you're in the Boston area, I should say, the Coolidge Corner Theater, which usually shows a lot of older movies, they show newer movies too, kind of more limited release stuff and kind of more independent stuff. But they, every weekend, they usually show like some late night old movies, horror movies a lot of times, or just like classics or whatever. But this time, tonight, they're partnering up with Rocky Woods, I believe it is called, in Medfield, Massachusetts. One of my friends just moved there, shout out to him. And in the woods, they're gonna show Friday the 13th. I believe it's the original and the remake, or the reboot, I should say. So if you want to check that out, go, be, feel free. I just will be, just be forewarned that Medfield did have some Tripoli earlier, a few weeks ago, so just be careful. Supposedly they sprayed and it's all good now, but I don't know if you're gonna be in the woods watching Friday the 13th. Just be careful. Just be careful. Be careful, everyone. Be careful out there, everyone. You know, but anyways, yeah, Friday the 13th in the woods. Check it out if you want. Medfield. Buy tickets at Coolidge.org, something like that. I don't know. I'm not affiliated with them, and I'm not getting sponsored by them or anything like that. But I just thought it was kind of cool they're doing that. I probably won't end up going, but seems like a cool thing. But anyways, let's move on, shall we? Next up at number two, we're at two already. Coming out on August 15th, so not a Friday the 13th, unfortunately. 2003, it made $36.4 million opening weekend, 82.6 domestic, which is the record, and 114.9 worldwide. Also, the record, 41% on Rotten Tomatoes, 37 on Metacritic, which I believe is the high score for Metacritic, and 5.8 on IMDb. Got a B+ on the Cinema Score, which I believe is the high score for Cinema Score. And that is the debatable one about, is this really a Friday the 13th, or is it a Nightmare on Elm Street? Is it both? I don't know. It's Freddy versus Jason. It finally happened about 10 years later than it was supposed to. Even more so than that, I guess. So, yeah. It was kind of weird because, like, they, you know, obviously New Line, and this movie was put out by New Line, with, I think, some sort of association with Paramount because they needed the Pamela Voorhees character in the movie, which I thought was part of the reasoning why they couldn't, I don't know, there was some issues going on. But anyways, with the rights, which I think there still is, but regardless. You know, obviously New Line had bought the rights to Jason at some point after Jason Takes Manhattan, and, you know, with the thought process that they were going to do Freddy versus Jason. And I don't know what happened. Maybe someone didn't want to do it. They couldn't figure out the good storyline, who would win, like, kind of like, you know, they didn't really know what to do with it. And then they killed off Freddy, and then they killed off Jason, and they brought Freddy back as the new Nightmare, which was a decent movie. You know, again, it was kind of weird because Freddy wasn't really Freddy, but he was Freddy. But then Robert Englund was also in the movie, but like it was like a different Freddy. It was a bit confusing. It was a cool concept, I guess, but it was a bit confusing. A lot of people do like that one, but that's for another story. That's for a whole another podcast about Nightmare on Elm Street. We're talking about Friday the 13th. So that's the debatable part here is, well, this is Freddy versus Jason. So, fast forward after they kill off Freddy and Jason, you know, they're doing Jason X. And again, that movie took forever to get done. But then also, like I said, they were doing all those, you know, marathons, Friday the 13th marathons, which I think were getting popular. And then I think, I don't know, someone was just like, why didn't we ever do Freddy versus Jason when Jason X was like starting to come out? And like, they were like, oh, you think we could do it? Yeah, I think so. All right, let's do it. And then they did it. And the next year, a year later, there you go. Freddy vs. Jason came out. And I love this movie. I think it's just a really good movie. You know, it came out in 2003. So again, similar to 2002, with Jason X, you had a better, you know, production value of it. You know, special effects were better. You know, kind of all that sort of thing. But, in, you know, obviously you throw in Freddy on top of that, so that's a whole other thing, but, on top of Jason, in that thing. But, you know, obviously Jason X didn't do well, so it was kind of like, maybe they may make a mistake here, but it worked. It did well. Again, I don't, similar to the newer one, the reboot one that did well too, don't know why they never did a sequel. Can't explain it. It's you got Freddy, you got Jason, you got two franchises that were all about pumping out sequels, and then nothing. Just never happened. There was rumors that they were going to do a Freddy versus Jason versus Ash from Evil Dead movie, and then it ended up being a comic book, I think, but they never, and maybe even a cartoon or something, but it never became an actual movie. But yeah, so I mean, the thing is about this movie is they obviously have to have elements of a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, so there a lot of stuff happens in dreams. So the plot line is that Freddy and Jason are both in hell. Somehow Freddy needs the kids all to be afraid to him to be able to appear in their dreams to get them to you know, think about him and, you know, dream about him and get him back to killing people in their dreams. Meanwhile, all the kids are taking these drugs that so they can't fall. They don't have dreams. But he somehow gets Jason to resurrect. I don't quite know how that even worked, because he was in hell. They were both in hell, I guess. But he got Jason using his mom to resurrect and then kill a bunch of people. So then people were getting afraid, but it was Elm Street, so people thought it was Freddy, but it was really Jason. Since they were getting afraid of Freddy, they started dreaming of Freddy, and then eventually Freddy and Jason turn at each other and they big fight and blah blah blah. And spoiler alert, Jason wins, but then Freddy winks at the camera when his severed head winks at the camera at the end, and that's why you think there could be a sequel, and then nothing happened. But overall, really cool movie. I always enjoyed this movie. If you've never seen it, check it out. I mean, you don't really need to know anything. I mean, really, for any of these movies, you don't really need to know any backstory or whatever, but Freddy vs. Jason. You get the both worlds of Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, so there you go. Alright, before we get to number one, just gonna sidetrack a little bit to some of the other things about the franchise, the Friday the 13th franchise. There was a TV show, and while it was called Friday the 13th, it really didn't have anything to do with Friday the 13th. It was called Friday the 13th, the series, and it was about two cousins attempting to recover cursed antiques that were sold from a shop they inherited from their uncle. Yeah. It was really titled The 13th Hour. It had 72 episodes, which, holy crap, 72 episodes. But the decision to name the show Friday the 13th over the original title was made because someone thought the Friday the 13th moniker would better help to sell the show to networks. Makes sense, but really, it was stupid. Yeah. They later thought about bringing another television show to television. Another Friday the 13th show to television, focused on a group of teenagers living in Camp Crystal Lake. It was going to be called the Crystal Lake Chronicles. It was kind of, I don't know, it was going to be similar to like a Dawson's Creek, Buffy the Vampire, Smallville, and Jason was kind of going to be in it, but not like totally, and nothing ever happened with it. And then again, and that was in 2003, and then 2005, it was discussed again. In 2014, it was announced that some of blah, 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 were planning to produce an hour-long Friday the 13th television series. The series is intended to focus on a group of characters at Crystal Lake who would have to deal with the return of Jason Voorhees as well as discover new information about him and his family. Then on August 2015, it was announced the series was being developed by CW. Blah, 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 blah. On August 2016, the network announced they decided to not move forward the series. And blah, blah, blah. And nothing has come of it since. There has been some novels. There's been some comic books throughout the years. There are also, I mean, as there was with pretty much every movie, I think, that came out in the 80s, there was, of course, a Nintendo game. Of course there was. There was also a computer game, which I don't know specifically what was the deal was with the computer game. Computer game is the first game adapted, blah, blah, blah. Player can roam around freely in the scenery, walk in and outside of buildings. Jason, as well as other characters, do the same. The player's task to make sure his friends do not get killed by Jason. So it was kind of a... I think it was... So unlike the later Nintendo NES game, the game included scenes of gore consistent with the franchise. So I guess it was just kind of a... it was a similar version to the NES one. It was just a little more R-rated, I guess, because obviously Nintendo was more geared towards kids. So, you know, the game that came out for the NES, which was produced by LJN, wasn't great. It was okay. I remember playing it, and it was super hard, first of all. It was not very clear what you were supposed to do. Like, you had to go around finding stuff. And then eventually, then Jason would come after you. So then you'd have to beat Jason. But then you'd have to find his mom or something. I don't remember. I only played it a few times. And it was just... Then, like, you would... I don't know. It was weird. But then, like, if someone died, the game would be over, so... Yeah. I don't know. I never did very well with it. I never beat it, but it was definitely... a tough game. I remember fighting Jason. I don't know if I ever even beat Jason, but then after you beat Jason, you had to do some other stuff, and... I don't remember. But anyways, regardless of any of that, there is a newer Friday the 13th game that came out more recently. I want to say it first came out in 2017. It originally came out on Windows, PlayStation, and Xbox One, and then more recently on August 13th, even though it wasn't a Friday this year, it came out on Nintendo Switch. So the plot of this game is more so based off like the movies. Well, I guess the other game was too, but this one's kind of weird because you can be, you can choose to either be a counselor or you can be Jason. So it's like it's an online game mostly, although you can play it offline, I guess, too. So you have someone takes on Jason and their purpose is to kill all the counselors. Other people play the counselors and they're what they try to do is work together and get a bunch of stuff so they can call police or fix a car to get out or somehow kill him, I guess. I don't know. I do own it. Actually, I think I own the NES game too. I do own it. I have not played it much. I have it on the PlayStation. It's one of those games where it's like, I would love to play it. I just don't know. I'm not great with the online stuff because I always feel like whenever I play stuff online, someone I'm playing is going to be so much better than me and I'm not going to know what I'm doing and then I'm going to get mad that I don't know what I'm doing when I'm playing someone online. I don't know. I like to play games by myself, first, you know, single player games, playing with a friend, but not like just random people. I don't know. For whatever reason, for me, that's not usually what I want to do. But regardless of that, let's move on. Outside of that, I mean, there's certainly merchandise of Friday the 13th. I'm sure there's figures and there's
t-shirts, and there's all sorts of stuff, I'm pretty sure. Probably dating back to when the originals came out to, you know, ones that are being produced now and today. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, so let's move on to number one, and I will talk a little bit more about something at the end of this, because this ties into this movie specifically. Number one, and if you're doing the math and can figure it out on your end, you have a little checklist. Yeah, there's one I haven't said. And this, again, is just my opinion. And you'll see by these numbers, it's not necessarily the best, but it's my favorite. So this one came out August 1st, 1986. Yeah, it wasn't a Friday the 13th, so it loses points. Even though it's still number one, so it didn't lose that many points. It made 6.7 opening weekend, 19.4 domestic, so didn't do great at the box office. Rotten Tomatoes scores 52, so that's actually second highest, so props to that. 30 Metacritic, so again, that's pretty respectable, and 7 on IMDb, so it's not the worst by any means. And got a B on CinemaScore. So, you know, number-wise, it's okay. It's not the best, necessarily, but certainly not the worst. And that is Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. Now, if you remember, Tommy Jarvis killed Jason when he was Corey Feldman in Part 4, Final Chapter. Then, in 5, he thought he was back. Turned out it wasn't him. It was someone else pretending to be Jason. So what do you do then? You freak out and go to make sure he's actually dead. And he goes to the graveyard to see his grave, to make sure it's, you know, but it's not enough to just see the grave. You got to dig him up to make sure he's still in there. So you dig him up. Oh, he is in there. Oh, let's kill him again. Oh, let's put a lightning rod into him and then leave because their cops are coming or something. And then it gets struck by lightning, because of course, then it gets struck by lightning. What does that mean? That means he comes back to life. He is resurrected by the lightning strike. And now Jason is back to life, and he's going around killing people, and he's coming after Tommy Jarvis. It's fantastic. It's great. And it includes one of my favorite scenes of all the Friday the 13th, the RV scene. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't want to ruin it for you, but there's a scene where this couple is in an RV and they're driving along, and then Jason comes, and let's just say someone goes through an RV wall, and it's amazing. And also some other great kills in this movie. And yeah, it's just, you know, whenever they did the marathons, everybody's like, oh, one's cool, I like one. Oh, two's good. Oh, three's got the mask, he gets the mask. Oh, four is great. Ah, oh, five. Okay. Oh, six. Oh, God, definitely have to watch six. Seven, okay, fine. And then eight, I'm turning it off. And then they, for whatever reason, I think they only had the rights to the Paramount ones, because they would never show nine. I feel like I've only seen nine a couple times, but I feel like they didn't have the rights to them whenever they did those marathons or whatever. But anyways, yeah, number six, Jason Lives, fantastic. And another reason why I do and really enjoy number six is because of the soundtrack. And our good old friend Alice Cooper did an amazing song, The Man Behind the Mask. Oh, it is fantastic. It is amazing. It's one of my favorite songs of all time, I think. Well, certainly from a movie in the 80s. And that's saying a lot. There's a lot of great songs from movies in the 80s. Oh, it's great. I mean, yes, there was some other music that was in some of these movies throughout the years. Certainly the Freddy vs. Jason soundtrack's pretty good. And you know, throughout some of the other movies, there was definitely some other cool songs of the times, but nothing compares to The Man Behind the Mask. And with that, I will say happy Friday the 13th. Hope you enjoyed every moment of your Friday the 13th, or will enjoy it. And if you missed it, for some reason you missed this Friday the 13th, and you're listening to this after the fact, don't worry, because there's another Friday the 13th coming up in a couple months. Yes, December. there's another Friday the 13th. So get ready for that one. And if for some reason you missed this one, and if you're seeing this, well, it's probably too late because you probably already listened to it if you get this point. But, well, I guess that doesn't matter. But anyways, just before I go, before I pass the torch on to Alice Cooper to let him sing you out, yes, check out the blogs at razorbaiter.blogspot.com for all my other previous posts. Or, you know, you can always subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, and you'll just get them right into your... You can set it up so they come right to your device. You don't even have to do anything. It'll just show up. Yeah. Also, follow me on Twitter at Razor Vader. Let me know what your favorite Friday the 13th movie is, because, you know, this is just my list. Maybe you have... Maybe yours is Jason Takes Manhattan. Maybe it is. I don't know. For me, I can't imagine many people's favorite is A New Beginning, though. That would just blow my mind. But yeah, let me know. Also, leave a review on my podcast or whatever you want to do. 5 stars, all the greatness, all the funness. It's going to be fantastic. Friday the 13th. Alice Cooper, it's your turn. Hit it, buddy.